All right, Colossians chapter 1, week number 45 on Colossians chapter 1, the third syllable in the book of Colossians. I don't know if y'all like it, but I like Wednesday nights, and I like going through the Bible the way we're going through it here, just digging in and feel like we're able to do that on Wednesday nights, and not that I don't like Sunday mornings and stuff like that, but I like going through the Bible like this and digging things out of it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to talk about gratitude tonight, and particularly gratitude to God the Father, like the verse says. And these are not just formalities. I think sometimes we read over this stuff pretty fast, and it's not just a formality that Paul would say what he says here. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so when you write a thank you letter, generally it's in response to being given a gift, and it's directed to the gift giver. It's not just a thank you to the general public. There's a gift giver, and then the response is thank you to the gift giver. And so the gift giver and is God the Father. And Paul says we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to show you in the Bible God the Father's role, first of all, as the gift giver. Show you some of the gifts he's given throughout the Bible, and then make a little application, because God's will, one of the things that God wants to do is produce people who are grateful to him, people who have gratitude, and they have gratitude because they're appreciative of the gifts that he gives. The problem is, a lot of times his gifts are neglected, or people don't see the purpose of them, and so it's impossible in that person's life or those people's lives to produce gratitude because they don't see the value of the gift. But I want to show you through the Bible here. First of all, God the Father's role as a gift giver, and it was his will and his desire to be the gift giver to mankind, and just show you some things in the Bible about that and the reason for that, and make some application on it. But let's pray first, and then we'll talk about giving thanks to God the Father. Father, I thank you tonight for your words, first of all, and Lord, there is just no reason that we should have them. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to say what you once said, and Lord, that you would be able to produce grateful people, and Lord, that we would understand the value of the gifts that you've given and are giving and have given, and Lord, that we would make use of those gifts and apply those gifts. And Lord, I thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd feed your flock tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the direction of the gratitude is to God the Father. Like I said, he says we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that's said of God the Father in the New Testament, we'll look at the verse in a minute, it says every good gift, every perfect gift is from the Father above, Father of lights and all that, in James. So the first thing I want to show you is a few times in the Bible where God the Father bestows his generosity on mankind. And some of the verses one of the verses will probably be very familiar to you, but I want to show you even in the Old Testament how this worked out, and just show God as the gift, God the Father particularly, as the gift giver. All right, look back in Genesis chapter 28. Yeah, go to Genesis 28. We'll start there. Genesis 28 and verse 4. Genesis 28, verse 4. And so these verses are going to deal with God the Father as the one who gives the gifts. And it's His desire to be generous. It's His desire to give. All these, this generosity originates with God the Father. And while you're turning there, Genesis 28, 4, I'll read this verse to you. It's in James. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So when James writes about the gift giving and the gift giver, he cites the Father as the one who is the source of all generosity of God. Okay? Now we're in Genesis 28. I'm going to show you a few times where God is the gift giver here. Genesis 28, verse 3. It says, "And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." You notice all those times God gave and gave, and he wants to bless. And so I know we're in the context here of, I think it's Isaac and Jacob and the line of the heritage here and the land being passed on and the inheritance there. But he cites God Almighty is the source of this generosity. It was in God the Father's mind to do this. All right, let me show it to you again. That deals with the land. Look over in 1 Kings chapter 4. I'll show you another one. First Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. 1 Kings 4:29, this is Solomon, and the Bible says about God as the gift giver, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." So notice God, again, the source of generosity. He gives to Solomon wisdom. And I'll just make a little side comment about that. You can have the gift of God, like Solomon had wisdom, and still not be right with God. Solomon had wisdom, and his life became a disaster. And he messed up Israel, and he messed up the people he ruled over. But he had the gift. He had wisdom. The wisdom never left him. So he had the gift. Yet, with the gift, he messed his life up in sin with women and things like that, and idolatry. And so the gift doesn't mean you're going to be right with God. It just means God's generous and He gives good gifts. So God's the originator there. He gives wisdom to Solomon. Let me show it to you in Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Kids probably have this one already memorized. Daniel chapter 1. In verse 17, Daniel 1:17 says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Again, God and gave those two words together, God, the source of this generosity, he gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom, and those are the things that are going to help them in their life and in their living in Babylon and all that kind of thing. All right, so God's the source there. You're in Daniel. Look over in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 18. Daniel 5:18 says, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. So God gave Nebuchadnezzar kingdoms. He gave him power. He gave him glory. And at the beginning of Daniel, you read that God gave Jehoiakim into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is given this land by God Almighty. So again, God is the giver. He's the source of God the Father as the source of the gifts. All the gifts would originate from him. Now, those are some Old Testament ones. We could literally look at so many more. Those two words, God gave or God giveth or things like that, those two words show up a lot of places in the Bible. Here's a New Testament one. John 3:16. Anybody know that one? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son. He's the source of the generosity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 goes on to say, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God the Father as the source of all gifts and all generosity, every good gift, every perfect gift, he is the source of it, just like James says, and all that stuff comes from God the Father. I'll give you another one in the New Testament, a couple more here. John chapter 6, look at this one. John chapter 6, verse 32. John 6, 32. The Bible says, John 6:32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So it's over and over. The Father of lights, according to James, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. I'll read just a couple more to you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So that's the gift of God. How about this one? Here's one you probably know. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And how is that eternal life? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God the Father, the source of the good gift, and he's going to accomplish this, the gift being in Jesus Christ there. I'm going to read you a couple more. You guys don't have to turn to all these. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That came by God there. Here's another one you know, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God. Not the faith, the grace is the gift of God. Because he defines it over in Ephesians 3:7. He says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So the grace is the gift of God. That is the provision God will make for a sinner. Give you one or two more here. In John chapter 14, I'll just read this one. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. So Jesus Christ is always referencing the will of the Father. He's doing the will of the Father. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm trying to help you understand the source of the gift, and the way the gift is going to be affected is going to be through Jesus Christ. The source is going to be the Father, and then it's going to be affected through Jesus Christ. Here's another one. I tell you what, we'll look at this one. Look over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation 1, 1, and this will be the last one we look at about the gift giving of the Father. Revelation 1, 1. Revelation 1:1, notice the giving here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So God the Father gives the revelation to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ then gives the revelation, signifies it with an angel, and gives it unto John, and then John writes this down. But it's the revelation given from the Father to the Son, and then to whoever the Son will disperse it to. But notice this, he gives it unto Jesus Christ, revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. I'm going to make one comment about that too. There are some things, particularly in Revelation, it's interesting. Revelation is called revelation. It's not called hidden. It's not called the great concealing of everything. It's revelation. And then he says it's given to his servants, given to Jesus Christ, and then he gives it to his servants. One of the things about the Bible is there are some things, and maybe a lot of things, that you're not going to be able to understand unless you're serving God. He gives this to servants. He doesn't give this to people who call themselves Christians. He gives this to people who are servants of God. And I think you understand the difference. There are something. I mean, if you're at home, if you're at home, sitting on the internet, on whatever, and trying to figure out what revelation means, you're not going to figure it out by not serving God. That's with a lot of things in the Bible. Jesus Christ says, "If he'll do my will, he'll know of the doctrine." And so some things you can't just sit behind a computer screen or sit at a desk and learn. You learn by serving God. And maybe there's some study involved in all that stuff. I understand you can study and things like that. But people think they can accumulate knowledge of the Bible by ignoring practicing the Bible, and you can't. What will happen is you may get puffed up with knowledge, but you're not going to learn the things that God the Father wants you to learn, or you can't learn them. You'll just be puffed up with knowledge. I hope that makes sense to you. There are some things you can't learn without being a servant of God. And sometimes that revelation just, it's for people who are serving God. It's not for people who aren't going to do anything with it. If that makes sense. So people will argue about certain, argue about things. And the people who are arguing are people who aren't going to do anything with the information anyway. And so it's just controversy and divisiveness and things like that. But notice revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants. Not just people who call themselves whatever or people who attend a church. The servants of God are the ones that are going to get the revelation. So that's a group of people that is, Jesus Christ said at one time, he says, I thank thee that thou hast revealed this unto babes. You didn't reveal it to the wise. You didn't reveal it to the people who thought they knew it all. You revealed this unto babes. And Jesus Christ says, I thank thee, my Father, that thou did this. And so there's revelation that can only be had through service. Okay, so that's probably another sermon, but that's just the idea there. Going back to the bigger point about God the Father, the source of the gifts. Now, that's the last one we'll look at. I just wanted to show you God the Father is the source of this. God, and now the second thing about this is his will now, God's will, is that people would enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Here's God the Father in his throne, and here's heaven and all that. And the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So God wants people, because he's a generous God, he's trying to instill in people a gracious and thankful heart. So when they approach God, they approach him with gratitude and they enter his courts with gratitude and thanksgiving, and there's an appreciation for the gifts that he's given. So he gives these gifts in order to create a grateful people. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. You probably know this verse, but look in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. First Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God the Father is trying to produce grateful people, and the way he's trying to produce grateful people is by being a generous God. The best gift, the most important gift, and the most valuable gift he ever gave was Jesus Christ. And he says it is his desire and his will that because he is such a generous God, he desires people now to come to him with gratitude and appreciation for the value of the gifts that he gives, particularly in Jesus Christ. He says in Jesus Christ there. So this is the will of God, that he would produce a grateful people because of what he's done for him. However, here's the trouble. Not everyone appreciates the gifts of God. Not everyone recognizes the gifts of God. Not everyone sees the value in the gifts of God. You think about this. How many millions of people tonight, even among people who claim Christianity, gave no thought today for the gift of Jesus Christ, who saved their soul if they're saved, gave no thought to Jesus Christ today, and their minds are consumed with something else or whatever else is going on, and there was never a thought, maybe even since Sunday, I'll just say Sunday, for the last 3 days their minds have been on whatever else is going on. and no thought given to the gift of God. And so there's not been any respect, no honor paid, no value, no appreciation for what God's given. And so gifts of God can often be neglected. I mean, think of the lost world. All right, people who are lost don't have any use for Jesus Christ. In fact, not only do they not have any use for Jesus Christ, they would rather Jesus Christ not be mentioned around them unless you're just cussing, unless you're just, you know, mad at something. And so this is the greatest gift that God could give to mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this gift just goes uncollected, neglected. Most folks will not even care about the gift. They'll ignore the gift. Paul said to Timothy one time, he said, well, we'll look at it. You're in 1 Thessalonians. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul says to Timothy, he says this. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. But notice those first few words, neglect not the gift that is in thee. So just because God is generous doesn't mean people care that God's generous. And just because God is generous doesn't mean people accept the gifts that he gives. And just because God's generous doesn't mean the people who are going to church. Here's Timothy. And Paul's writing to a fellow who is a pastor. And he says, don't neglect the gift that God's given you. Don't take that thing for granted. Don't devalue it. Don't set it aside. Don't neglect this thing. And the value of it is this. He says over in Hebrews, he says, for instance, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So a lot of God's gifts just go uncollected. People don't see the value in them. People don't know what to do with them. And I would say, well, kind of along with what we were talking about in Revelation and the service of God, if you're not serving God, you probably don't see the value in the gifts of God. If you're not doing something with what God's giving you, you probably don't see the value in what he's trying to give you. If there's no appreciation, you know, you think about, I don't know, just somebody that's received a gift, maybe, I don't know, kids or something like that, and even adults, but say kids for now. And you give them whatever, a piece of candy, something. And they just eat it up and then come back, give me more. And there's no appreciation of it. They don't care. All they just expect it again. Just give me more. I want. And I know adults can be the same way, just a little more sophisticated in how they present that stuff. but you're not going to be grateful if you don't see the value in the gift. And you're not going to see the value in the gift if the gift has no purpose in your life. Salvation in Jesus Christ to a lost person has no value to them. They don't see the value of it. So they're not grateful for Jesus Christ. They don't even want Jesus Christ around. They don't want you talking about him to them. They don't want you to hear about him. Now here's a saved person who has been given gifts by God, but they won't use them because they don't see the value in them. And so they're not going to be grateful because they don't see the value in what God's given them. Maybe you trusted Jesus Christ, you're saved. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit of God and you've got something to give. There's something there. There's something that God's given you that you can give back. And but I would say you're not going to be a grateful person if you don't ever see the value in the gift. And you're not going to see the value in the gift if you're not using the gift. I remember there was one year, Christmas time. It was always such a complicated time, and it always is, I guess. But we would get together at my grandma's house, and this is years ago when I was a kid, and the kids would get stuff, you know, and the adults. Now that I'm older, I can kind of relate to this. The adults always had trouble giving gifts to each other. So they kind of, my parents were like, well, just do it with the kids, and, you know, we don't have to give each other anything. We're just, you know, you don't have to give me something. And so my parents were kind of like, you know, just do it for the kids and not the adults. Well, some folks in our family wanted to keep doing the adult thing and all that stuff. And so one year, my parents, the adults didn't have any idea what to give other adults. You got everything. I don't know what to give you. And so they got one year, they got this blue chicken. And it was some kind of a pillow, but it wasn't a pillow. It was just a blue chicken. It like set in a basket. And so every pointless gift became known as the blue chicken. And so it was a gift that we couldn't really see the value in it, didn't see the point of it, and it was just kind of, I remember Mama hung it up and by the sink and put it in the little basket it was supposed to go in, just hung it there, and that was it. And they kind of laughed and joked about the blue chicken, you know, maybe we'll just get them a blue chicken next year or whatever. But it was one of those things where you don't know what to give them, and you just, here's something for the sake of being Christmas time. The point of it is, these gifts that God gives, oftentimes, I think of it, oftentimes are like the blue chicken to us because we don't know what to do with them because we're not using them. They don't serve a purpose in my life. Does that make sense? God gives you something, but you don't make use of it. And so there's no way you're going to be grateful for it because you don't see the value in it. Because to you, it doesn't really have any value. So, on the other hand, God's intention is, from God as a father and a generous father, he wants to create generous and grateful and charitable people by being a gift giver and giving people blessings and, I mean, the things that... to survive this world and salvation and all that kind of thing. He wants to generate and create gracious, thankful people who will enter into his courts with thanksgiving and come before him thanking him for what he's done. But you're not going to do that if you don't see the point of the gifts that he's given you. So here, let me show you a verse. Look over in Psalm 69. We don't have too much more to go here. Psalm 69 and verse 30. People who are grateful appreciate the gift because they understand the value of the gift. Psalm 69 and verse 30. The Bible says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. As one way to make God bigger, you know, magnify him. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. Meaning, God would rather people be grateful to him than bring a sacrifice to him. He would rather people show up in his courts with gratitude on their heart and on their mouth than to bring a sacrifice and try to pay for their sin. That's what he just said. I would rather people come to me with gratitude in their hearts and in their minds and in their thoughts and in their mouths than bring a sacrifice to pay for their sin. And if I can get people to enter these courts with thanksgiving and praise, that's the will of God. That's what I'm trying to produce. That's what God the Father is trying to produce. Like I said, people who are grateful appreciate the gift because they see the value in it. They see the point of it. And they're appreciative because the gift giver is generous. Because he doesn't have to give gifts. I think about this, been thinking about it a lot lately. There's no reason for me to live in the United States of America and have a Bible. There's no reason for me to be able to read God's words. There's nothing I've given to God that would make any impact on eternity or make any impact on His desire to reveal Himself. There's just nothing. There's nothing to warrant giving me revelation. And that goes for all of us. There's no reason we should have this from God. This is a blessing to have the Word of God. And it's a blessing to be able to read the Word of God. But you're not going to be grateful for the Word of God if it doesn't really do anything for you. If it doesn't apply to you, then take it or leave it. If it has no application in my life, I don't care if I have a Bible or not. It'll sit on a desk. It'll gather dirt and, you know, maybe be a relic. And I can show people I'm religious by having a Bible on a bookshelf. But it doesn't mean anything to me. On the other hand, if it's actively changing my life, you know what that generates in me? Gratitude for this book. It generates gratitude to God the Father for what he's given. You think about Daniel and Solomon and these guys, when they asked God, take Solomon for instance. When Solomon looked around and became king, and he said, I don't have any idea how to rule these people. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just a child. I don't know what I'm doing. And then God gives him wisdom. You know, Solomon was thankful for having some wisdom. When those two ladies entered in and tried to figure out who owns the baby, who's the mom? Remember? And he says, well, cut it in half. She gets half, she gets half. And then the mom screamed, no, just give it to her. Give it to her. Give them to her. And Solomon said, all right, that's the mom. Take the baby, give it to her. You know he's grateful for that wisdom. Knowing how to solve these problems, how to make judgments, and now that God had given him some understanding, boy, that stuff had application in his life. No telling how many cases he had to do like that. But it had application in his life. Think of Daniel. Daniel's life is on the line. He begs God for some understanding. God gives, as a gift giver, God gives him wisdom. And he goes before the king, explains a dream, interprets the dream, and goes back and thanks God. Why? Because the gift had value to him. It directly applied to his life and really applied because it was life and death for Daniel. How much more in our lives where it is either heaven or hell if the sins don't get paid for? In Jesus Christ, those sins get paid for, and man, It is a blessing. I mean, you can't even put words to it. It is such a blessing to have your sins forgiven. Because God doesn't have to do that. He wasn't under any obligation to forgive sinners. He's not under any obligation to make things right. He's not under any obligation to give His only begotten Son. But He did. And so when Paul says, thanks be to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a formality. He's actually addressing God the Father is a very generous Father. And He has given gifts. The biggest one, Jesus Christ. And in the process and the purpose of giving those gifts is to produce grateful people who appreciate His generosity. But then the other side of that is not very many people even care about the gifts of God. Not very many people avail themselves of the gift of God. Not very many people see the value of the gifts of God. And so if you want to be in God's will and be gracious and I should say have gratitude towards God, you're not going to be able to just muster up gratitude. You can think of some things that you can be thankful for. I would say that's a great, and we may do this tonight. I think we ought to. Before you have a prayer request, say something you're thankful for. But you know how you can really be thankful for God's gifts? Is you put them to use. And you start seeing the value of these things. What He's done, what He's doing, what He's trying to do. So I hope that's helpful. We'll pray and we'll wrap this up. Father, thank You so much for Your words. I pray it's been helpful. Father, You are a gracious gift giver. And truly, every good gift comes from You. Lord, You've given Jesus Christ Your Son, and He has willingly offered Himself as a sacrifice, as the sacrifice for sins. Lord, what a blessing to have your sins paid for in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray we would be grateful people because we see the value of the gifts that You give. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.